When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Welcome, fight fans, to another episode of BTR Boxing Podcast with me, Sean Bastow. And today we're going to be joined by the returning Geordie Neild. But before we get into the episode, I just want to give a quick shout out to the sponsors for the podcast, Bear Attack Boxing. Now, you hear me talking about them in every episode. There's a reason for it. And it's not just because they sponsor us. It's because they're providing high quality boxing gloves and boxing equipment. So I implore you to go over to their website and take a look at their products, which is www.bearattackboxing.co.uk on Bear Attack Boxing on Facebook. Also, please go and find us on any good podcasting app and subscribe to us. Leave us a rating. If you're on Apple Podcasts, get on there and leave us 5 stars and a review. If you're on Podbean, get on there, follow us, and you can also leave us a rating and a review on there too, and any of the good podcasting apps that are out there as well. Finally, before I get this episode started, I just want to tell you guys to go over to the British Podcast Awards website, britishpodcastawards.com, and search BTR Boxing Podcast and go and give us a vote. Give us that support that we need to help ourselves get more mainstream. We are truly independent. We bang on about it all the time. We don't sit in a studio. We don't sit in a Talk Sports studio, or we don't sit in a BBC studio. We sit here with a Blue Yeti microphone, a laptop and an internet connection, and that is how we do things. So please, to help us get to where we want to be, get voting for us, please. BritishPodcastingAwards.com. So I'm glad to say I got Geordie Neild back on. How are you doing, Geordie? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back on, to be honest. I had a bit of a crazy month personal-wise. It's been sort of 2019's been one to forget for me. But yeah, back on the pod, back talking boxing and back happy, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back on. It's really great to be talking about what's gone on over the weekend. And I think the first place for us to start, Geordie, is with Crawler and Lomachenko. And I want to get your thoughts, because I've not spoken to you about it for that long, boxing-wise. I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, towards late last year, we spoke and we said Crawler was overmatched. And, you know, fundamentally, he was overmatched. But, you know, Crawler's only going to go in there and do one thing, and that's give his all. And, you know, he's well within his rights to do that. He's earned his stripes in the game. And, you know, he's give anyone, in terms of Eddie Hearn and stuff like that, he's given them favours upon favours in the past, in terms of selling out Manchester Arena and, you know, selling all his tickets and making successful big shows. So he deserved to take his chance, and, you know, and what he was outclassed. But I can't see anyone in the world living with Lomachenko, maybe Gervonta Davis, but I think Lomachenko beat him quite easily as well. So, you know, Anthony Crawler rolled the dice. He weren't good enough. We all knew that. But, you know, he comes out none the worse. You know, I can fully well see him, you know, headlining a show in Manchester late in the year, and this sort of defeat doing none the worse for him. You know, he deserved to get his shot and he deserved to roll the dice, and it didn't go his way, but so what?
People are out there obviously slating him, and I wanted to address this because this was controversial. This caused a few arguments on Friday night. I put the post out of him sat in his hospital. I put the post out sat in his hospital bed where he'd obviously had that slab over the head, he'd broken ankle, and then, you know, he came back from that to become the WBA champion. And all I was pointing out to people was that he's come back from near death to go and fight the pound for pound best fighter in the world. There were no predictions involved in it, but people just started to jump on the bandwagon of, you know, oh, everyone's entitled to an opinion and all the rest of it. But I've seen today that Gervonta Davis was saying, who is this guy? I've seen Sergey Lipinets saying it was a punch bag, and then people are just sat there slagging him off to the high heavens about it, yet people were saying no one's disrespected him in the build up to it as well.
Do you know what the controversy is? Like, all these fellas going, oh, he's got no chance, what the fuck's he going over there for, he's got no chance, he's never going to win. These same motherfuckers are putting the fucking lottery on week after week. You've got no chance of winning the lottery, have you? But you still put it on.
It's true.
You know, Crawley, yeah, maybe he had no chance of getting in there, but he's still getting in that ring and fucking and rolling dice. Maybe, you know, something went wrong with Lomachenko, or he got lucky or whatever, but regardless, it doesn't matter. He still got in that ring and gave. I know Crawler personally was disappointed with the account he gave himself, but no English fan, no true English fan, would be ashamed of the account Anthony Crawler gave for himself. At the end of the day, he was outmatched. He was overmatched. Lomachenko was a far better fight than Anthony Crawler is, but at the end of the day, it takes two men to make a fight. Lomachenko needed an opponent, and he got that with Anthony Crawler. Anthony Crawler went in there, gave his best, and got paid. End of.
And I agree. And I said in the prediction,
at the end of the day, he's a good fella. He deserves the payday. And I like Anthony Crawler, mate. And I hope he has another fight to send him out on a win. But anyone who's criticising is just a fucking idiot. And anyone saying, oh, we're not criticising Crawler, we're just criticising the overmatched matchmaking. Just shut your mouth. Like, there's fucking overmatched fights every week of the year. There's overmatched fights on small cards in Scotland, but you don't fucking make a fuss about them, do you? No, it's purely to get retweets and to make themselves relevant. That's what annoys me.
Yeah, I agree. There was quite a few of them doing it on Friday in particular. But to be honest with you, the amount of people that liked the post that I'd put out on Eat Sleep Boxing Repeat just showing me that there was a minority of people that were just out there looking for that little bit of, you know, like you say, retweeting, bit of fame by putting that stuff out there. One thing people were mentioning that I wanted to bring up were they were saying,
yeah, that's what it is, but like,
they were saying that he got his shot at the WBA title through a mandatory, but he didn't fight fighters that were good enough to be even, you know, in the top 10. He fought Dad Jordan in his last fight, and then he wasn't even ranked in the top 15, or he was just about ranked in the top 15.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we all know how mandatories work, but, you know, people can sort of, you know, pick bones in Anthony Crawler's last previous fights and whatever, stuff like that, but I believe, like, fundamentally, the criticism that he's gone in for is not anything to do with, you know, not liking the fight or thinking Anthony Crawler's overmatched. I believe it's purely to retweets and sort of for people to gain their own, you know, personal gratification from it. I've seen very few arguments that have been like, you know, a real genuine argument why Anthony Crawler shouldn't take that fight or why Anthony Crawler shouldn't be in that ring. You know, Anthony Crawler's a lot, he's overqualified compared to these people in terms of why you should accept the fight and why you shouldn't. Yes, like, yeah, let's put it to the facts. Yes, he got beat. Yes, he got beat well. But does it really affect Anthony Crawler's career? No, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because he already had losses on his record. It wasn't like he was going in there and defeated. He'd lost, what, I think 5 or 6 times before, exactly. Before this.
All this defeat does is the fact he can say to his grandkids, oh, I shared the ring with Vasyl Lomachenko. Wow, yeah, did you do that? What a great achievement. He's not going to sit there and go, oh, this fella from Glasgow said I shouldn't fight him. No, the fella from Glasgow's forgotten the next. He's fucking, today's fucking newspapers, tomorrow's shit paper, right? And that's exactly what them people are.
Yeah, 100%. So we knew what was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. I didn't think it happened so quickly, but it did, and, you know, he got beat, and Lomachenko just looked absolutely class as usual, and obviously you said before, Jordy, that Gervonta Davis is probably the one that we want to see him in with. Is there anyone else, really? likely and realistically that he could fight where people would actually be satisfied with the fight?
I don't know, maybe, you know, if he comes over to the UK to fight Campbell in a big arena fight, maybe so, but I think he'd probably beat Campbell quite comfortably. Mikey Garcia, again, I think the gloss has maybe been taken off that Garcia's defeat to Errol Spence. It's a tough one. He's quickly becoming in like a league of his own where, you know, stepping there if you dare sort of thing, and probably rightly so, really. I think we're going to look back on Lomachenko and say, you know, he's probably one of the best ever.
Well, so far so good for him anyway, put it that way. That's, you can't really argue with what he's achieved so far. He's now beat 8 former world champions, and that says it all in what, 13 fights?
Yeah, it's stupid to me. His record is absolutely daft, but, you know, we can only be excited about where he's going to go and, you know, the challenges he's going to take, and, you know, if his early career is anything to go by, we're in for a good ride as fans.
100% agree, and I'm looking forward to seeing where his career does go. Just quickly touching on Crawler then before we move on, I've thought about where Crawler goes from here, and obviously he doesn't want to go out like that. Would you consider him fighting Ricky Burns again in Manchester as his farewell?
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably sell with the good undercard, but, I mean, they're probably both on the way out. I'll probably edge toward him fighting Teddy Flanagan. But, you know, there's a couple of domestic fights there that he could go out on. Even the Luke Campbell fight, he could probably go out on as well. But if I'm totally honest, I'd probably want to see Crawler hanging up there. Like, why? He's got nothing to prove. He's just fought the best that is. He's achieved world title status that everyone set out to achieve. You know, he's overachieved in his own in his own words, and, you know, he's about to go out topping the bill against Lomachenko. Why would he go on, in my opinion?
Yeah, I mean, personally, when I'm speaking from my perspective, I think that there's nothing else for him to do in boxing now. I think he's achieved what he wanted to achieve and more. And outside of the ring, for people that don't already know what he's up to, locally people know that he's gone back to his old amateur gym, and he's now starting to manage and train fighters that are just starting out their professional journey. So it looks like he's already got his eyes on, you know, staying in boxing in that capacity anyway. So for me, calling it a day wouldn't be so much a bad thing at 32, and he just walked away with $300,000 from that fight, you know, doing 4 rounds with the world's best. Get $300,000 for it, why not?
Yeah, Crawler's got nothing to prove to no one. Like, anyone who's been around boxing knows exactly what Anthony Crawler's brought over. The, you know, the Boot Sky Sports and stuff, he was right in the middle of all that. You know, I'd probably ask Eddie Aine, one of his favourite fighters of the past 10 years, Anthony Crawler would be right up there. You know, he's brought fans great nights, and he's reached the pinnacle of the sport, and he's fought the best. He's got nothing to prove to no one.
Yeah. And that's that, and I think we should move on then and talk about what else happened over the weekend. I talked about it on the preview show on Thursday. I was talking with Greg about the female fight, the unification fight between Shields and Hammer this weekend. Shields got the victory, 10 round unanimous decision, or was it a majority decision even, and dominated the fight completely.
Yeah, I think she's you know, it's tough with women's boxing, I think, at the moment, especially at the top level. We've seen it, you know, quite often with Katie Taylor, like, the gulf between very good and world class is quite significant, and I think that probably played out this weekend.
I think we've seen that the you know, I hate saying this, but I always say it anyway, levels, it's a cliche saying, it's levels in boxing, and it looked levels, yeah. Even though Christina Hammer was undefeated going into this fight, she'd had a world title behind her, but like you say, with the depth in the divisions not being fantastic, you can only fight who's put in front of you, and until you come up against someone who's legitimate, who's a very tough test, and you're not really going to know how good of a fighter that person is. And I think we've seen that on Saturday night, as Clarissa Shields, you know, for all the shit she says on social media, you know, the story behind what's happened to her in her life kind of makes me feel a little bit sorry for her as well at the same time, and maybe makes me feel a little bit different about her today.
You know, on social media, she's a knob, isn't she? Let's put it straightly. She says some stupid shit, but, you know, a lot of people aren't the real selves on social media, and, you know, we've just speak about her backstory, and I'll be honest, it was something that I didn't actually know. But she's come a long way, and, you know, good on her. But I just worry about the depth in women's boxing at the moment, and whether she can actually solidify her legacy is another conversation.
It's a difficult situation, and because until they get more female fighters coming through, you know, through the ranks and the amateur side, and then obviously things like the Olympics, you know, I produce people like Clarissa and Katie Taylor. Until we get more people coming through, it's going to be difficult to gauge that sort of level of fighters and where they're going to be and where they're going to go until we get more depth in the
divisions. I just believe it. You know, if women's boxing does take off in say 5-10 years, you know, the people like Katie Taylor and Kalisha Shields could be completely forgotten about. That's quite wrong, because they could probably survive in any era. But it's just sort of like they've got no competition, which is the problem.
It is the problem. I 100% agree. It is the problem at the moment. And until they sort it out, until they start to encourage it more. I mean, this fight wasn't well promoted, to be honest with you. It was a unification fight, for God's sake. You know, I said this on Thursday, why wasn't it promoted? It should have been promoted, you know, to the best of what you can promote a fight. You want women's boxing to take off, but yet you're going to under promote it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not got the backing that, you know, mainstream men's boxing has, and I think it's probably got a long way to go. But, you know, at the end of the day, people like Katie Taylor, Clarissa Shields, they're flying a flag, and, you know, all we can hope for is that one day it's all on a level playing field.
Well, let's talk about then Jaime Munguia and Dennis Hogan. That was a controversial outcome and seemed to ruffle quite a few feathers in the boxing community.
Yeah, I had Dennis Hogan quite comfortably, if I'm honest. But
I tell you what, for me, it was.
There's nothing you can really, you know, at the end.
Go. It was a very controversial decision, Jordy, and there was a lot of people that felt like Hogan did take it, including yourself. And I did manage to watch it back only about an hour before we started recording this podcast, and I think he won it by at least two rounds. However, with him going over to Mexico in Munguia's back garden, it was always going to be difficult for him to steal a decision away from them. And he's a Golden Boy promoted fighter, so they're going to protect him as much as they possibly can. And on that night, last night, it felt like they protected him a lot.
I mean Munguia is a great fighter. He's obviously achieved a lot in his relative young age, but, you know, I think he's always been suspected to get him beat quite comfortably. And, you know, although Liam Smith got beat, he's sort of unlocking some answers, sort of thing. And, you know, I think Dennis Hogan really took advantage of that. And I think Munguia is far from the finished article, and if you're going to beat him, now's the time. And I think Dennis Hogan did beat him, and as you say, I think the Mexican board or the Mexican judges really did Jaime Munguia a bit of a favour, but that's not what we don't want to see as boxing fans.
No, it's not, and it's what ruins the sport for us, to be honest with you. That and a load of other things that we spoke about in the past, it ruins it. And I think Dennis Hogan, you know, was robbed a little bit there, and I would. It's hard, because I don't want to say it's the worst decision I've ever seen, because it's not, but he definitely had a shout for winning that fight, for sure. And I think there was a lot of people that felt like he did, and it's a shame for him, because will he ever get a shot at that title again? I don't know, you know, because I think Munguia's team will just move on now.
Yeah, I think he's not going to be interested in a rematch, or, you know, he's been helped out, and he'd be happy to move on and forget this ever happened, to be honest.
Did you see anything else from over the weekend? Did you see the Truax and Quillen fight at all?
I didn't. No. That's probably the only one I need to catch up on. To be honest, I found myself catching up on the UFC. Don't ask me why. I know this is completely out of context, but, you know, I found myself this morning watching Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier. Don't ask me why. I've sort of got, you know, a bug of combat sports at the moment. Spend my Sunday mornings just catching up on overseas combat sports.
Fair enough. That's not a... Hey, no fault of that. Not faulting you for that one at all. It was a bit of a strange run, Jordy. It actually ended in a no contest due to a clash of heads. Now, there was an injury that was right on the eyebrow, and the doctor basically said it was a really deep cut right down to the bony tissue, and the blood was pouring down into the eyes of Truax, and they called it a halt pretty quickly.
Oh, no. I mean, this is the problem with not so many British cards no more. They're all overseas, and, you know, we've got so much to catch up at 3-4 in the morning, and, you know, it gets pretty difficult at times. But, yeah, I mean, I can't really comment, not because I didn't see it, but in terms of Caleb Truax, I'm sure he's probably looking to crack on again and try and get the rematch, but he's got to try and capitalise on the last 18 months, 2 years that he's had. And, you know, regardless of what happens now, Caleb Truax will probably be a good name in the division for a long time, for the fact he took the title off James DeGale.
Well, there was another fight on this weekend. I've not watched it, so I'm going to struggle to sit here and talk about it. But Sergey Derevyanchenko also picked up the victory last night as well, for anybody that did watch it. Please let me know what you thought of it, because I've not had the opportunity to be able to catch up with it. And he picks up another victory, and obviously he'll be looking to push his way back to middleweight title contention once more. So I haven't got anything else from the weekend, Geordie, that I picked up on fight-wise. It was actually pretty quiet in terms of domestic fights this weekend. So now we've got you back on, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we probably missed talking about on the episodes. Is there anything you wanted to highlight over the past few weeks that you had a burning desire to discuss?
I mean, I've missed being on, mate, I'll be honest. I love doing the podcast. I love chatting boxing with you, fundamentally, just sitting talking boxing as friends. But I mean, you know, we can always go over the heavyweight situation with Wilder, Joshua and Fury, and the fact that we all thought Fury was this people's champion, and we were all, you know, thought he was the one who was going to get us the big fight. But, you know, now he's fighting Thomas Schwartz. That really puts the spanner in them works. But yeah, I think just in fact, I hope that, you know, we keep getting British shows, and we can all joke about Adam Smith and his relationship with Eddie, but we need the shows over here. It's great having these American DAZN shows, but, you know, we need prime time shows in the UK, not staying up till 2-3 a.m. to catch up on these shows on DAZN in the US.
And that's quite highlighted by some of the shows we've got recently. And the next coming weekend, we've got Dave Allen versus Lucas Brown as the main event. I mean, a few months ago, you know, we wouldn't have even been talking about Dave Allen headlining a pay-per-view event, and here he is. Well, sorry, not a pay-per-view event. I apologise, I said pay-per-view then. But, I mean, a main event on a Saturday night. I didn't think I'd see him in a main event.
No, I mean, you know, it's never been a main event, has it, if we're all honest. I don't think the undercard's great. It sort of feels at the moment like we're being fobbed off a bit, you know. And, you know, we've got Callum Smith going on the June 1 card, Cal Yafai, Cal Brook. You know, it sort of feels like we're being flopped off a bit. And, you know, that card next week's probably as bad as it gets in terms of the last couple of years in the UK.
Yeah, it's not great. I agree. It's not great at all. And, you know, I will cover it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to cover the fight, the Brown and Allen fight. But there's going to be a bigger fight to cover next weekend in Crawford and Khan. But, you know, it's a shit situation. And I've said it multiple times. Yeah. Multiple times to different
Just
people.
Kelly ducking people again.
Oh, yeah, I know. What about Avanincian picking that victory up over Lajaraga?
Yeah, mate. Tell you what, the fucking Adam Booth and them, and they're not silly. I mean, Avanincian's managed by a guy in the Northwest where I'm based, and, you know, they know there's a lot more in that tank, and there's a reason Josh Kelly didn't take that fight. And the fact that he's fighting someone with a pretty padded record next weekend, you know, I don't think he wants that sort of, he doesn't want that sort of attention, yeah, from Avanincian.
He looked really good the other week, Avanincian, picking up that win over Lajaraga, who was undefeated up until that point as well. And, you know, it does make you wonder, you know, the Josh Kelly fight must have been pulled for the fact that they knew he was going to be a very, very risky task at that stage of his career. So it does feel like they've protected him from him.
Packing glass, that's what I heard.
what about David Price then the other week, Geordie, getting bit by Cash Harley?
Hey, tell you what, couldn't stand the heat, mate. That's what it was. he felt a bit of power and he wanted out, mate. But the pricey steam train rolls on. You know, we're only one fight away from a big fight now, and I think get the Brown Allen winner, beat them, and you don't know where you'll end up.
Hey, I tell you what, I don't know how he's doing it, but he's still hanging in there, isn't he? By the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, that big right hand ain't fucking put anyone asleep. You just wait till someone opens up. People like Cash Alley and that, they take it all on the gloves. But let's see if Dave Allen or Lucas Brown, you know, want to trade with Pricey, and they're going to go asleep.
I tell you what, it's been a bit of crazy few weeks in boxing, and we've got a few more good weeks coming up. Sergey Kovalev, Anthony Yard, what are you making of that situation?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Mate, he's not going to Russia for all the fucking money in the world. You know, Tundi's never going to let him go over there. And I lost all respect for this fight and for this sort of, I like to say, camp. But, you know, it gets me blood boiling with the Lions and the camp thing. But I sort of lost all respect when Tundi's he starts referring to himself in third person. I've seen an interview where he's saying Tunde Ajayi, he would never take a fight that was in the disinterest of Anthony Yarn. Shut up, you tit.
He's just a mouthpiece though, isn't he, Jordy? Do you know what I mean? He just stokes up all the interest, whether it's not good interest or it's good interest. He's just being a mouthpiece for him.
I think he's flapper only. That's what I think. He's absolutely skint and he just sees Anthony Yarn as a bit of a cash cow.
Hey, maybe that's what it is, and maybe that's why he's running his mouth so much. But I gotta be honest, like the some of the deluded stuff that does come out of his mouth, you know, it's quite entertaining to watch, to be honest.
We need them characters. Like, don't get me wrong, them characters get paid in the sport, but there's not a chance in the world that the Yard's gonna go to Russia. Not a chance in the world. You get iced as in the best case scenario, but there's not a chance in the world he goes over there.
No, I've said that. I'm not being funny, but like, you don't go over to Russia anyway because they're really racist. There's a lot of racist areas of Russia that are not really gonna, you know, he's gonna get a lot of racist chants going into the ring. There's never mind bloody going over there. It's ridiculous. Like, it's not a chance.
No, mate. He's not gonna sort of someone with that inexperience, and you know, he's not even got the amateur pedigree to deal with them hostile crowds and, you know, faraway nations. He's not gonna go over there, mate. If he does, he's crazy and he's getting paid a hell of a lot of money. But he's never gonna go over there. Not in a million years.
No, don't think so either. I've already said that. Anything else then, Jordy, on your mind?
No, mate, I mean, it's been a couple of, obviously we had the, Beefy and Sam Egerton card in Liverpool, and that was great, but, you know, it's been quite a few weeks, and, you know, hopefully it starts to pick up in, you know, coming up to May, and, you know, you got Canelo and Joshua out, and hopefully them undercards are stacked, and we've got loads to talk about. But, yeah, I mean, it's just great to be back on. It's great to be chatting boxing with you again, and it's been a crazy month for myself, and, you know, hope that's all behind me now, and just focus on talking boxing and writing about boxing.
100%, Jordy, 100%. It's been a pleasure to have you back on as our co-host, and obviously we'll be getting you back into the Legendary Nights series. There's going to be our Zoo versus Hatton one coming out this week as well, and we're going to do the Frotch Grove one that's coming out soon too, so we'll get back on Twitter, we'll get people doing the polls, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to get back on the train again and get this rolling with yourself back involved. And it's been a great period of time these past few months for the podcast. And at the top of the show I talked about the British Podcasting Awards and the fact that we're automatically in the hat for it anyway because we've got a podcast. But I put the social media post out a couple of days ago. I'm asking the listeners again one more time, guys, if you like what we're doing, you're enjoying what we're doing, and you want to show your appreciation for it, then go on to the britishpodcastingawards.com and vote for BTR Boxing Podcast. Now, realistically, I've said this before, I don't expect us to be the winners of this because we are not a mainstream podcast. However, if we can get anywhere near the top 10, you know, I'll be 100% grateful for that, because that just shows the strides we've taken in the time that we've been running, which is 2 years in September the podcast started. So I want to keep getting up there, get pushing on, get more new listeners, get more mainstream. You know, maybe we'll end up in a talk sports studio one day. So guys, if you've enjoyed this reaction show, please let us know. Give us a tweet at BTR Boxing Pod or BTR Boxing Podcast on Facebook, and find us on all the good available podcasting apps. Like I say, we will be back with you with Legendary Nights Zoo versus Hatton. We will be doing another Legendary Nights Frotch Groves 1, and then we'll get them tweets out, as I've just said. And there's going to be some other episodes coming up. We've got Alan Brown, we've got Crawford and Khan coming up this week. So it's going to be a fantastic week for boxing this weekend. I am very excited for it. Hope you've enjoyed the episode, fight fans, and see you next time.
Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick, so I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.